You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, episode 154. And today, let's get behind the secret to scaling your business using remote talent. So let's get started.
Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Hey, are you a thought leader, creative entrepreneur, or change maker and want to magnify your impact, boost influence while creating a financial abundance? Stay tuned for today's inspiring episode with your host, Melanie Benson.
Hey there, inspired entrepreneurs and business leaders. It's your host, Melanie Benson here. And I hope you're ready to get some massive traction from today's episode. I'm excited to introduce you to a new friend of mine who is an expert in something that I probably get asked about with 9 out of 10 clients. I get emails all the time asking me, Melanie, where can I find the best virtual assistants and places to look for team members? It's a common need. And if you want to grow your business, you're going to want to listen to today's episode, because there is a secret to finding talent that will be dedicated to you, that will help you grow your business, that will be as productive as you need them to be, and be a great investment to grow. And my guest today is going to inspire us and actually has a really, really amazing opportunity for you to get started using virtual resources. But before we dig into this episode with Nathan Hirsch, have you locked in your influencer experience ticket yet? This is an online experience like nothing else out there, and I am so excited to match you up with 12 influencers, 12 people who have a business who were just like you at some point, and maybe even are just like you right now, but they've got one little secret, and that's how they have established massive influence doing what they love most. And each of them has joined forces with me in the influencer experience to reveal little strategies that can make a major impact in your business. Now, it may be that you want to speak on more stages. And if you did take the Own Your Bold Influence Challenge, you know that's one of my proven strategies for getting higher influence, attracting more clients. Well, one of our guests in the series is a woman who is going to teach you how every free stage can generate at least $10,000 in revenue before you even enter the room. It was so good. You don't want to miss the session I did with Erin Lomanjack. Also, Laura Rubenstein, the founder of Social Buzz Club, is going to reveal how you can leverage other influencers to get massive buzz and momentum in your social media marketing efforts. Plus, she's got a really, really juicy offer for you. She's gifting you 14 days of her online tool to help you get that buzz started in your business. Plus, one of my favorites was my friend Rhonda Britton revealing how to get past your fear of rejection or your fear of failure so that you can keep the bold momentum flowing in your life and business. They're so good. There's so much there to expand your view of what's possible and get practical strategies to level up immediately. Now, how are you going to get access to it? Well, head over to ownyourboldchallenge.com. You'll be able to lock in your seat for the influencer experience. And I'm giving you access to the recordings of the Own Your Bold 5-Day Challenge trainings, and I'm gifting you a copy of my monetized method training so I can show you how to get major traction, major revenue flowing into your business in the next 30 days. Grab it at ownyourboldchallenge.com while it's still available. Now, I know you're excited to get into today's episode with Nathan, so let's get into it. Well, I'm super excited for today's podcast conversation. We're talking about scaling your business using remote talent. And let me introduce you to my guest. His name is Nathan Hirsch. He is a 30-year-old, 10-year entrepreneur and expert in remote hiring and e-commerce. He started his first e-commerce business out of his college dorm room, and has sold over $30 million online. He's now the co-founder and CEO of FreeUp.com, a marketplace that connects businesses with pre-vetted virtual assistants freelancers, and agencies in e-commerce, digital marketing, and much more. And he's been regularly appearing on leading podcasts such as Entrepreneur on Fire, speaking at live events, and all over social media, and now right here on Amplify Your Success podcast. Nathan, thanks so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, me too. We're joking around a little bit in the green room about virtual assistants and as you call them, remote talent being my jam. I have to tell you, I could not have created my business if I had not relied on virtual assistants and working with people all over the world who are super talented. They just don't happen to live in my neck of the woods.
Same here. I mean, my team bills me 1,200 hours a week. I have 35 VAs. I only hire from my own platform. And to go along with those VAs, I got another 15 or so freelancers, like graphic designers, writers that we use for different projects, and some agencies that run my social media too. So I really practice what I preach and use that full spectrum to scale my business.
Let's talk about scaling businesses. I want to hear about your story because you have such an interesting and fascinating background, and it's a perfect example of what it means to scale. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you went from selling Amazon out of your college dorm room to where you are today?
Yeah, I mean, growing up, my parents were both teachers, and I always knew that that becoming a teacher was not for me, and they made me work these 40, 50-hour a week summer jobs, and I learned so much about sales and marketing and customer service, but I also learned how little I wanted to work for other people. So when I got to college, I kind of looked at it as a ticking clock. I had 4 years to start my own business, and where else I was going to go into the real world and have responsibilities and have to get a job. So I started hustling, and I remember one day I got mad with how little money that the colleges were paying to buy back books. And I said, hey, I can take this summer money that I had made and buy people's books, give them more, and still make money myself. And I created a little referral program. Before I knew it, I had lines out the door of people trying to sell me their books, to the point where I got a cease and desist letter from my college telling me to knock it off because I was taking too much of their business. So my parents were both teachers. I didn't want to get kicked out of college. So I quickly pivoted. And this was back in 2008. Amazon was just bursting onto the scene. No one really knew what Amazon was. There was no courses or gurus or software, but I thought it was so cool if I could have this 24/7 storefront and I'd sold books there. I just had to figure out what to sell besides books. So I started experimenting with outdoor products, video games, computers, typical college guy stuff. And I just failed over and over and over. And it wasn't until I branched out of my comfort zone and found the baby product industry that my business really took off. So if you can imagine me as a 20-year-old single college guy selling baby products on Amazon, that was me. And this business took off. I got in at a really good time. Before I knew it, I was making more money than my parents. And I remember my parents telling me, okay, I should probably start paying taxes. So I meet with an accountant, and the first question he asked me is, when are you going to hire your first person? And I kind of shrugged him off, like, why would I do that? That's money out of my pocket. They're going to steal my ideas. They're going to hurt my business. Pretty standard entrepreneurial excuses. And he just laughed in my face and said, you're going to learn this lesson on your own. Well, sure enough, my first busy season comes around, the fourth quarter, pretty crazy in e-commerce, and I just get destroyed. I'm working 20 hours a week. My social life plummets. My grades go down. And I think to myself, once I get to January, man, I can never let that happen again. So I start hiring college kids. How about a lot of really bad experiences doing that, besides one really good hire who is my business partner, Connor, today. We've been working together for 8 years. And I turn to the remote hiring world, the Upworks, the Fivers, and I make some good hires. I have some people that are still with me 8 years later, but I also made some bad hires. And I just hated the process of posting a job, getting 100 applicants, interviewing them one by one. And it just took forever. And I didn't have time for that. And if someone quit, I had to start that process over again. So I had the idea to build my own platform based on what I liked and changing what I didn't like about these other platforms. And that's when I had the idea of FreeUp, where we get thousands of applicants every week, vet them, top 1% get in. These are people from 5 to 100 plus per hour, over 100 skill sets. Clients don't have to browse. They put in a request and we fill it. And 24/7 support on the back end, which I felt like other platforms didn't have, and that no turnover guarantee. If someone quits, we cover replacement costs. So that's kind of how I went from a broke college kid to selling baby products or books, then baby products, and to starting a freelancer marketplace.
Well, you know, what I'm hearing is that you actually saw a really big hole in the market and filled it. Because I've been teaching people how to hire virtual assistants and work with virtual contractors, no matter where they lived, for probably close to 20 years now. And this is the single greatest reason people don't do it. They're really frustrated and overwhelmed by the hiring process. So, you know, tell me a little bit more about what your secret sauce is to finding that amazing person. Like, how do you sort through all those people and find the top 1%?
So for me, it's about skill, attitude, and communication. For years, I used to hire people just on skill, and if someone would have 5-star reviews or some references, sample work, whatever it was. And 3 months later, it would blow up in my face, and I'd sit there wondering, how is that possible? This person was so talented. And so we realized that the attitude and the communication are the other two components. You really need all three. So for skill, you don't need everyone to be a 10 out of 10. People can be a 3 out of 10, 5 out of 10. What you care about is that they're honest about what they can and cannot do, and they're priced accordingly. For attitude, you want people who are passionate about what they do, that aren't just in it for the paycheck, that actually, if they're a bookkeeper, they love bookkeeping. If they're a graphic designer, they love graphic design. You want people who don't get aggressive when things don't go their way, that can be the bigger man, the bigger woman. There's going to be clients out there that aren't rainbows and butterflies and situations that come up, and you want people that are going to be awesome, not just when things are good, but when things aren't great either. And then communication is everything. Getting on the same page, responding within a business day, obviously speaking English at a high level, how they handle emergencies or personal issues that come up that could delay things. So it's very rare you hire someone, you're like, wow, they were honest about what they could and couldn't do. They had a great attitude. They had great communication skills, but they were still a bad hire. If you do a good job of vetting for all three, we found that it greatly improves that success rate. And that's what we do before they get on the platform. And once they're on the platform, we hold them to these initial expectations. We're very quick to remove people if they're taking on projects they can't do at a high level, if they are showing any signs of bad attitude or aggression, or if they're not communicating, if clients or my team has to chase them in any way.
That's a dream. I mean, it's truly a dream to have somebody else do all of those pieces and know that the quality of the person you're hiring is actually, you're getting results fast because this person's proven. That's great. I'm just kind of curious. I'm sure you hear all the time from people, you know, this question about like, why would I hire a freelancer over a traditional employee? What are the advantages of going freelance in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, to me, you, and there's pros and cons. For me, I'm biased. I only hire remote. I've had an office. I hated it. I felt like I created a 9-to-5 job to myself. I actually paid for some people to relocate, and they really liked the remote lifestyle. We live just in an amazing time. You get so much more flexibility. You're not limited to the people in your town and the towns around you. You can get people at different price points with different backgrounds, different diversity. There's a lot bigger pool to pick from. You don't need to hire everyone full time. You can hire people part time or project based. So it just gives you a lot of different options that people didn't have back then. And if you're only limited to hiring people in your town, full time employees that work in the office, you're really missing out. And your competitors, if they're using the gig economy, the remote workforce, are going to have a lot more flexibility than you going forward.
Was there any type of roles that you don't think work well as a virtual freelancer?
To me, it's only if something has to be in the office, like if you need a cashier or you need a janitorial worker or whatever it is. I mean, I hire everything else remote, and I'm a big proponent that unless you physically have to be there, it can be done remote. I mean, there's a sushi restaurant in Orlando that's a client of FreeUp, and they hire remote to do their social media. They don't need an in-house social media person. So no matter whether you're a brick and mortar store or remote business, whatever it is, you can really benefit hiring remote.
I would agree. I've had some clients who are really resistant to it. They're like, no, they have to be in the office. I'm like, no, actually they don't. You know, and I think sometimes it's just shifting the paradigm, right? It's like you have to be willing to think outside the box to get the quality of the person that you could have that you can't find locally.
Yeah, completely agree.
I want to tackle something that comes up a lot, and I'm wondering what your take on it is. I think sometimes people complain about their employees or their virtual workforce and the quality of the work they're getting, but really the onus is on the owner, the entrepreneur, right? Like the entrepreneur is not showing up in a way that's making that team able to perform. Do you have any like examples either through how you've had to grow to be a great leader or clients, you know, really kind of messing stuff up because they're not really showing up in a way that allows them to get the best out of their team?
Yeah. I mean, it's all about expectations. I mean, I've seen that. I've had clients who they'll say, hey, this person like didn't get me the project. I'm super pissed off. I'm frustrated. And I said, okay, when was the project due? And they say, we didn't talk about that. I just assumed the project would get done relatively quickly. I said, okay, well, when you're working with freelancers, they have other clients. Every client has different expectations. And the freelancer should have done this up front too, is set a due date, set a due time. It's due to me by 2 p.m. Eastern time, whatever it is. So for me, it almost always comes down to those initial expectations. I actually had a Facebook post this morning of just assume nothing. Don't assume when they're going to work. Don't assume when they're going to get the project done. Don't assume that they know what success and failure is in the project, or that they know what's inside your brain from a creative side. All that stuff needs to be discussed up front. And you should also get it in writing so it doesn't turn into a he said, she said down the line, that if there is something that's not correct, you can say, no, we talked about this right here. And I think that's what a lot of people that have hired a lot of remote VAs, freelancers like you and me and other people out there, what we do is we know to get clarity on everything, to make everything black and white, avoid the gray areas, and spend that extra time up front making sure that it's there. And because of that, it leads to less issues. And not only does it lead to less issues, is when there is an issue, we're able to point that out a lot quickly. If someone's missing a due date or if someone's not doing exactly what we talked about last week, it's a lot easier for us to be like, this person's good, this person's bad, rather than just giving someone a project and hoping that they get it done exactly the way that you want it.
I 100% agree. It's all about expectations and communication, which you were talking about earlier, because you can have a mismatch of expectations, but you can communicate your way through it. And if people aren't communicating what's in their head, it's one of the biggest disasters in terms of executing well with a team. And you know, you are such a pro with this idea of scaling. Like you've accomplished so much, and I know having a team has helped you tremendously, but like I just kind of want to unpack this idea of scaling and leveraging a team and get specific. Like, what are some specific things you had to do with your team to really be able to grow your business?
Yeah. So for me, I bootstrapped both companies. The Amazon business, I started with less than $100. The free app, I started with $5,000. And to me, I got that minimum viable product out there as fast as possible. I didn't spend a lot of time building a business plan or worrying what's going to happen in 5 years. I created the minimum viable product. I got it out there and I listened to feedback and I listened to ideas. And I focused on low risk, high reward situations. I tried lots of different things. I tried going on podcasts. I tried lead generation. I tried making phone calls. I tried LinkedIn. I tried Instagram. I tried Twitter. And certain things that work, like getting on podcasts or referral program, working with micro influencers, I doubled down on. And things that didn't generate ROI right away, I backed up and I tried them again later with a different approach. And I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs, they go into business saying, oh, this worked for a guru, or this worked for other businesses, or this is how my business is going to run, or this is what my clients want, instead of just getting it out there, listening to feedback, trying lots of different things. And I mean, even now we're 3 years into FreeUp. We did over $9 million last year. We spend very little money on digital marketing because in that first year and a half, we figured out what works, what gets us in front of our clients, the freelancers that we want to target. And because of that, the other stuff becomes optional. If we want to dump more money into ads, we can do that. But our entire business doesn't depend on us constantly dumping lots of money into high priced things that are high risk, high reward. So that's kind of my philosophy around scaling. I've never been one to take funding. I feel like we live in a Shark Tank world where everyone wants to kind of get that deal, and they don't realize that the strongest, most secure businesses can be bootstrapped if you go about it the right way.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of getting outside funding. I have a friend who that's her whole platform is she, you know, she did the Shark Tank route. She didn't actually get the funding she was looking for, but yeah, she basically interviews all these different people who went Shark Tank. And I'm like, yeah, that would never be the route I want to take. I'm a huge fan of bootstrapping, doing what you just said about like the low risk, high value activities. And that's a really solid plan. And I think I'm just kind of curious, do you guys use a lot of systems and technology to help run a team when you've scaled to the level that you guys are at now?
Yes, but we use mostly free softwares and tools. I mean, we use Skype, we use Trello, we use Jira, which is for developers. We use Google Docs, and we use stuff that is relatively affordable, like DocuSigns and stuff like that to keep files organized. So you can run a very large team. I have 30 plus people that are VAs and plus those freelancers using free software. Now, other people like Slack and Asana, and you can get Monday.com and Airtable. There's a lot of tools out there, and you can spend a lot or you can spend a little. I kind of like to practice what I preach. And one of the things that I do preach is you don't need to go crazy with the software to run a very organized team. I mean, my team knows exactly what they're doing every single day. They hit due dates, they communicate at a high level. And even just setting up the communication channels, one of the mistakes I see people make is they only communicate via email or only communicate via phone, where for me, we got email, we got phone, and phone consists of Viber, WhatsApp, or just phone calls if they're US. And then you got Skype. And Skype is for day-to-day talking, meeting, back and forth, getting on the same page. Email's for respond by next time you work or within a business day. And phone calls are for emergencies really only. If our software goes down in the middle of the night, we'll Viber developer. If there's something small that can wait to the next day, someone's not working, we're not going to blow up their phone. So establishing the different communication channels and what channel is for each thing is incredibly important. And there's some learning in there too. I mean, I've had new assistants who will Viber me at 5 p.m. when I'm at the gym over something small. And I'm like, no, that's a Skype thing, and you can go to the leader. So there's some learning and getting on the same page there too, but that's very underrated. It's not only figuring out what tools you're going to use, but explaining to people what each tool is for.
And having boundaries, which you just said is so important, because I think a lot of leaders, business owners, they don't really reinforce the boundaries. So they're not really reinforcing the practice the team needs to follow. So the team never really learns. So that's really good advice. All right. So we talked about tools, we talked about systems, we've talked about scaling. You know, I think one of the things I'm super interested to hear more about, and I think our listeners are going to be too, is if you are ready to hire and you know you need help, but you've been holding back, maybe it's been overwhelming to think about, there's two questions on someone's mind. The first one is, what do I hire first? And the second one is, where do I go to look? So I want to talk first about, what do you suggest people to get off their plate first in terms of hiring someone?
Yeah, I try to avoid this question only because everyone's in a different place in their business. You could be running a big business, small business, seasonal. What I like to do is divide it up between the followers, the doers, and the experts, where the followers are $5 to $10 an hour, non-US. They're there to follow your systems, your processes. If you have those systems in place, if you're stuck in the day-to-day operations, that's where you should start first, getting a VA, getting a customer service rep, lead generation, social media, someone to follow your systems. Then you got the doers. You got the graphic designers, the writers, the web developers. You might need that logo or need that infographic or they need to focus on that one social media channel. And if that's the case, you should hire those people and hire them project-based or whatever makes sense. And then you got the experts, the high-level freelancers, consultants, agencies. They're there to bring their own systems, their own processes, their own strategy to the table. And you might be taking on something that you're not an expert at. Maybe it's Facebook ads, and you could spend the next 6 months learning how to be a Facebook ad expert, but that's not a good use of your time. You need to hire someone that can already hit the ground running right from the beginning. So it really depends on where you're at in the business, whether you need that follower to get out of the day-to-day, you need the doer for projects, or you need the experts to take on something at a high level.
That's perfect. That's how I would have answered it. Well, similar, I should say. And the second part of that question was where. Now, obviously, FreeUp is a really amazing platform to go and find talent. But why pick FreeUp over the thousands of other virtual assistant agencies that are out there?
Yeah, so I mean, we're not an agency, we're a marketplace, and we tried to take everything that we liked about the other platforms and change everything that I didn't like. So we try to make it what clients like, what freelancers like. We get the thousands of applicants every week. We spend a lot of time vetting them. Only the top 1% get in. From the middle side, I mean, there's no browsing. You can just put in a request and fill it. We send one person by default. If you want to meet three or five or whatever it is, just let us know. We're happy to send you that many. And you can negotiate rate. The freelancers set their own price. There's no minimums. There's no sign-up fee. There's no monthly fee. So it's in our best interest to get you people you like. And then you have that great customer support 24/7. I'm easily available. My calendar's on the site. You can talk to my assistants. They're rock stars. And then you got that no turnover guarantee, which I've never heard of another place that has, where if someone quits, we cover replacement costs and get you someone new. So those are really the four reasons, the pre-vetting, the speed, the customer service, and the protection.
Is there anybody that you guys are not a good fit for in terms of someone who might be looking out there in the world for a virtual assistant, remote talent?
We work with all different types of businesses. I mean, the one thing I will say is we can get you really good people, but if you don't know what to do with those people after the fact, it only does so much good. So we try to put out a lot of content to help our community, our Facebook group, Outsourcing Masters, the Free Up blog, our podcast, the Outsourcing and Scaling Show, where we interview 7 and 8 figure entrepreneurs about how they did it, because I kind of talk about how I did it, but there's lots of different ways to go about hiring. So learning from them is great. And even social media, we just try to put out as much content as possible to help people. And overall, I mean, that's how you get better at it, because hiring is, it's one of those things. No one has a 100% hiring record. No one has gone through hiring without making mistakes. But if you can get in that 80% plus success rate compared to the 30 to 40%, that's how you have a lot more success in business.
Yeah, I would agree. That's awesome. Well, you actually make it super easy to get started with you guys. We have a special link on the show notes that we're going to share with our listeners where they get a $25 credit to give you guys a try. How does that work?
Yeah, so there'll be a link in the show notes. Go there, create a free account. You'll get a $25 credit to try us out. Remember, there's no minimums. It's free to sign up. So you can use that however you want. You can hire someone for $5 an hour for 5 hours. You can put it towards an expert or a project, whatever you want to do. And we also, at the top of the site, is my calendar, my assistant's calendar. If you ever want to meet with us, we're happy to answer any questions you have.
Ah, brilliant. Thank you so much. So I like to end my conversations with my guests asking them about bold moves. So what would you say is the boldest move you've ever had to make to grow your business?
Ooh, the boldest move. I mean, for us, we didn't really look at ourselves as a software company for the first year and a half. People loved the freelancers. They loved our customer support and protection, but they really hated our software. It was a pretty bad platform. And we completely pivoted as a business. We hired developers. We hired a quality assurance person. We really changed our mindset in our business. So it's, hey, we're a software platform first, and everything else kind of goes around that. And at the time, we were like, is this right? Is this wrong? Like, we're not developers. We're not coders. So managing a whole team of developers was a kind of a nightmare that we didn't want to take on. But it was definitely the right move for the business. And we're happy we did it.
Yeah, I think that that would be a pretty significant shift to make, too, because you're basically changing the paradigm of what you thought your business was going to be about.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you have to do that and make those bold moves. But I mean, the cool thing is, in nowadays, it's so easy to pivot that if that mistake, if that didn't work out, we hired freelancers, we can stop working with them, we can change direction and do whatever.
Yeah. So you're keeping yourself very nimble.
Exactly. I mean, you got to be able to pivot. If you can't pivot fast now and move fast, you're going to get left behind.
Last question. Where do you see yourself 10 years from now?
I'm the worst person to answer that question. I mean, if you had asked me 10 years ago if I'd be selling baby products on Amazon, I wouldn't have believed you. And if you asked me 5 years ago if I'd be running a freelancer marketplace, I wouldn't have believed you. So I'm probably being an entrepreneur somewhere, but who knows what I'll be doing.
Well, you know what I love about that? Because I'm the same way. When people ask me that question, I'm like, I have no idea, but I'm probably going to be doing something similar to what I'm doing right now. I love that you answered that way, because I think it's important for people to know you don't have to have a 10-year vision to get wildly successful. And sometimes it's just being in the what's next that creates massive momentum. So
yeah,
well done.
Completely agree.
Nathan, it's been a pleasure getting to know you better today. Thanks so much for joining in this conversation. We'll continue this conversation about scaling your business using remote talent in the Amplify Your Success community. So make sure you join us over there too. I want to hear what's going to be your first hire, and tell me, when you go use FreeUp and your special credit, who's the first person that you hire? All right. talk to you guys all real soon. Bye for now.
This is Melanie Benson, your host. Thanks so much for listening in today. If you want to catch up on any of the show notes and circle back on any of the resources we shared in today's show, head on over to the show page at amplifyyoursuccesspodcast.com. And remember, you amplify your results faster when you're in a community of other people who are moving and shaking. Join us at amplifyyoursuccesscommunity.com. One last thing. When you've gained insight from today's episode, help us share that and inspire other people by heading over to iTunes, subscribing, and give it a review. iTunes absolutely loves seeing these reviews pop up, and it actually helps boost my show's visibility. So I would be super grateful for your reviews. And as always, I love seeing your shares of these episodes on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Come find me over there. Tag me in your shares. I'll give you some social media love right back. So see you next week for another inspiring episode of Amplify Your Success Podcast.